Chuda Dukkakkanda Sutta, the lesser mass of stress. I have heard that on one occasion, the blessed one was staying among the Sakyans at Kapilavattu in the Banyan Park. The Mahananda, the Sakyan, went to the blessed one and on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the blessed one, "For a long time now, Lord, I have understood the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One. Thus, greed is a defilement of the mind, aversion is a defilement of the mind, delusion is a defilement of the mind. Yet even though I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, the greed is a defilement of the mind, aversion is a defilement of the mind, delusion is a defilement of the mind, there are still times when the mental quality of greed invades my mind, when it remains, when the mental quality of aversion, the mental quality of invades, delusion invades my mind and remains. The thought occurs to me, what mental quality is unabandoned within me so that there are times when the mental quality of greed, aversion and the delusion invades my mind and remains." So we are talking about the lobha, dosa and moha over here. And although he actually understood them, still coming time to time, not all the time, time to time. And Mahānanda was actually once written, you know, who has attained the sainthood of once returned. So still he is saying that these things are actually coming to my mind time to time, and what has not been abandoned by me? Why is it coming? Then Buddha replied, "Mahānanda, the very mental quality is what is unabandoned within you, so that there are times when the mental quality of greed, mental quality of aversion, the mental quality of delusion invades your mind and remains. For if that mental quality were abandoned in you, you would not live the household life and would not partake of sensuality. It is because that mental quality is not abandoned in you, you live in the household life and partake of sensuality." So now Buddha is actually explaining this scenario. Even though a disciple of the noble ones has clearly seen, as it actually is with right discernment, that sensuality is of much stress, much despair and great drawbacks, still if he has not attained rapture and pleasure apart from sensuality, apart from unskilled mental qualities, or something more peaceful than that, he can be tempted by sensuality. See, by the time he is in dhyana, no one can take him down from the sensuality. If he is not in dhyana, he is not in the rapture and then the something more peaceful than that, like nibbana, focusing on nibbana, anyone can be taken down with that one. I mean, arahant you can't, never returners you can't. And anyone below that can be taken down with the sensuality. So you can see how bad the sensuality is. It is. And so here the Pali word is bahudukka, much stress. Bahudukka, you know, the much stress. Upayasa, bahupayasa, that is this much despair. Bahuadino, that is the adino, the drawbacks. And so if he is not there in the piti sukha, that one can be taken. But when he has clearly seen, as it actually is, with right discernment, that sensuality is of much stress, much despair and greater drawbacks, and he has attained a rapture and pleasure apart from sensuality, apart from unskillful mental qualities, or something more peaceful than that, he cannot be tempted by sensuality. So this person actually understands the Dhamma. Even though one understands Dhamma, if one is actually in this high concentration, like with the rapture and sort of thing, that's the only place one cannot be taken down. I myself, before my awakening, when I was still an unawakened Bodhisattva, so as it actually was with right discernment, that sensuality is of much stress, much despair and great drawbacks. But as long as I had not attained a rapture and pleasure apart from sensuality, apart from unskillful mental qualities, or something more peaceful than that, I did not claim that I could not be tempted by sensuality. But when I saw, as it actually was with right discernment, that sensuality is of much stress, much despair, and great drawbacks, and I had attained a rapture and pleasure apart from sensuality, apart from unskilled mental qualities, or something more peaceful than that, that was when I claimed that I could not be tempted by sensuality. And now what mahana is the allure of sensuality. I think that the better word would be satisfaction of sensuality. These five stands of sensuality, which five? Forms cognizable via the eye, agreeable, pleasing, charming, endearing, fostering, desire, enticing. Similarly, sounds cognizable by the ear, aromas cognizable by the nose, flavors cognizable by the tongue, tactile sensations cognizable via the body, agreeable, pleasing, charming, endearing, fostering, desire, enticing. Now, whatever pleasure or joy arises independent on these five strands of sensuality, that is the allure of sensuality. That is, Buddha is explaining that the kama, asadu, kamanam asadu, what is the satisfaction? And then talking about these five strands of sense pleasures. There you can see that there are these the forms cognizable by the eye, enticing, and sounds cognizable by the ear, and so on. And they are not actually the sensual desire itself. Thinking about them is the sensual desire. So beautiful forms are there. It's not the sensual desire. We think, we construct ourselves. This is good. This is mine. I am happy with that one. So that's the sensual desire. And what is the drawback of sensuality? Kamanam adino. There is this case where on account of the occupation by which a clansman makes a living, whether checking or accounting, calculating or plowing or trading, cattle tending, archery or kinsman, or whatever the occupation may be, he faces cold, he faces heat. He being harassed by mosquitoes, flies, wind and sun and creeping things, dying from hunger and thirst. Isn't that the case? Over here it is cold in Canberra, and it is very hot in the middle part of Australia. Wherever we are affected by either heat, cold and all those things. And the mosquitoes, and then bad flies, all those flies and sort of thing. And we do have hunger, thirst, all those things. So we are affected by these things. So that's the drawback of sensuality. And if the clansman gains, now this drawback in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause, the reason being simply sensuality. You see, if you take this on in a deeper meaning, you can see we are, because of the sensuality, we are born into the sensual world. So because of that one, we are affected by this heat, cold, mosquitoes, hunger and all those things. If we did not have the sensuality, we won't be born in this realm. We'll be born in Brahma realm. There is no heat, cold, that mosquitoes, all those problems are not there. They have a subtle body over there. Some live on delight, the happiness. Because of the happiness, that's the food. Abhasara Brahma realm, for example, they live on happiness. And they live
on... Go to those realms because of the
karma
tanha,
isn't it? No. If you don't have karma tanha, you can actually go there.
But the happiness is also karma tanha,
isn't it? No. You can have a pleasure, feel without any sensuality. That is the dhyana, attaining the dhyana. So they go there in the dhyana. I'm not talking about the divine worlds. Mm-hmm. There are six divine worlds. There are these sensual things. But the above that one, there are these Brahma worlds. They live on this delight.
Those are Suddhavasa.
No, Suddhavasa. Suddhavasa is the fourth jhana realm where Anagamis are going. These are the first jhana realm, and second janaralam, third janaralam, and so on. In the first janaralam, there are three realms, where that they live one third of a eon, and then the Brahma Purohita, they live two third of an eon, and Mahabrahma live one eon.
I have a question now. This is having quite a long time. Now, we in the meditation go to certain stages level, and same level they got in the Brahman.
Yes, yeah. No difference whatsoever.
Now, the thing is now, for example, in our life, in meditation, we go temporary, that is permanent.
Yeah, permanent. Yeah. And if you die by the time of meditation, having attained this first jhana, that's where you will be born as well. So
that means if we develop our meditation continuously, living in that state, that is the state we are going to achieve respective of other things.
Yeah. So because of the sense pleasure, we like this body. We like to suffer in a way. Without knowing, we like to suffer. So we actually came to this world. So now this is the first drawback of the step, so that he is actually earning money. So we have exactly the same example for us, you know, that what we are actually facing today. So now if the clansman gains no wealth while thus working and striving and making effort, he sorrows, grieves, laments, beats his best, becoming distraught. My work is in vain, my efforts are fruitless. Now this drawback too, in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause, the reason being simply sensuality. So if the people are not getting enough money out of the job, and in the world there's quite a lot of places like that, not having enough money. Over here also some people complain that there are not enough money to live on for certain jobs. If the clansman gains wealth while thus working and striving and making effort, he experiences pain and distress in protecting it. How will neither king nor thieves make off with my property? No fire burn it, no water sweep it away, no hateful hairs make off with it. And as he thus guards and watches over his property, kings or thieves make off it with it. Or fire burns it, or water sweeps it away, or hateful hairs may cope with it. And he sorrows, grieves, laments, beats his breast, becoming distraught. What was mine is no more. Now this drawback too is the case, in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now, sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause, the reason means simply sensuality. So now here you can see that he is actually now getting enough money. Now that Australian, for example, thinking, wow, taxman will take my money, you know, I'm earning this much, that taxman is taking, so king is taking. Oh, we put padlocks and all the locks, and you know, the robbers can come and actually take these things. But sometimes robbers come and take it. And also that, not only that, the tsunami, you know, comes and takes it. Fire, you know, the bushfire for example in Melbourne, so you burns it and take it away. There's a parliament, is really nice, I remember this one very well. This statement is Yampi mi aho si thampi no nothing. And in Sinhala it goes very well, like Yama kapatavi they are nativi, you know, that's how they actually say. And you have seen that people when they are actually, you know, crying and shouting that one, and they say this one, in that's poems. What was mine is no more, it's gone. The stock market goes down. I have seen people actually say this thing is all wiped out, it's gone. And when you actually read this one, try to take each one of them to your mind. And it's a meditation. Each one of these paragraphs, you actually recall in the meditation time, that this is so, this is what happening, this cold is because of my sensuality, the heat, mosquitoes and all those things, and then the earning money, that part, your mind is not going anywhere. This is the drawback of sensuality. When you think about the drawbacks of sensuality, adino, this is adino sanya, and you can see your mind is really getting out of this, you know, the bad state of this, you know, kama, that you have a really pleasant abiding at that time when you think about this one. So Buddha is not repeating this one just for the sake of giving examples. Buddha is completely giving this one. If you go through it, it's really nice. It was really very valuable discourse for me at the beginning. Even now, even I meditated on this one this morning as well. It's really nice. Dukkakanda Sutta are really good. And just don't skip it. Thoroughly put your mind to that one. Again, it is with sensuality for the reason, sensuality for the source, sensuality for the cause, the reason being simply sensuality, that kings quarrel with queens, noble ones with nobles, priest with priest, householders with householders, mother with child, child with mother, father with child, child with father, brother with brother, sister with sister, brother with sister, sister with brother, friends, friend with friend. And then in their quarrels, brawls and dispute, they attack one another with pits, or with clods, or with sticks, or with knives, so that they incur death or deadly pain. Now these drawbacks too, in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now, has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause, the reason being simply sensuality. Again, it is with sensuality for the reason, sensuality for the source, that men taking swords and shields and buckling on bows, quivers, charge into battle, massed into double array, while arrows and spears are flying and swords are flashing, and there they are wounded by arrows and spears, and their heads cut off by swords, so that they incur death or deadly pain. Now this drawbacks too is the, in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now, and sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause, the reason being simply sensuality. See that the all the wars fight.
The term sensuality here is exactly what?
Sensuality here, it is that at that wherever they are, wherever you are, the sensuality is here.
What is the real meaning by sensuality?
The kama. Kama, tanha. This is the Pali word over there, is that so here we are saying this mass of stress visible here and now is has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its cause, sensuality for cause, the reason being simply sensuality. So whatever the problem that we are having is that because of this this thing.
Is that sensuality is here is referring to meditation or the
you know the kama guna that we discussed at the beginning, that the five stands of sense pleasures, that having seen a form, one has the, you know, that one is thinking about it, so there is this sensuality. So it's just by eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body that we have this sensuality. Whenever we see a enticing, a form that is enticing and pleasurable, we cling to that that thing and, you know, enjoying it. So that's the sensuality. And now over here you can see they cut off the with the swords and the, you know, the neck is gone, you know, completely. Imagine that scenario you have seen in the war and, you know, that sort of things, pictures, where this is actually cut off. Just for what? It's completely because of sensuality. Either I want this land, you know, the people are fighting with each other, bombing and all those things, completely for sensuality. Why? They want something. They want some sort of a pleasure out of these things. It is that because that they want the land, that is something, you know, you can see and hear, live. So one would actually fight for that one. And the gold, the minerals, the petrol and all those things is completely sensual. It is sensual object. For example,
because at the end it is because one thinks it's money.
It's in the mind, yes.
Yes, I mean mind, so it's my thing, my pleasure, so that's why...
Yeah, I don't want you to have it, I want me to have it. So the king fight with another king, and the brother is with brother, father with children, and all those things all happen because of that. And thinking about it, you can see how deep it is. And to cut off somebody's head, you know, just because I have some sort of a desire, you know, the desire to fulfill some sort of a desire that I have been mentally constructed, I have some sort of desire, I cut off somebody's head, kill them, shoot them. All those things are done because of the sensuality. It's gone in a deep sense. And it is with sensuality for the reason, sensuality for the source, that men taking swords and shields and buckling on bows and quivers charge slippery patience, while arrows and spears are flying and swords are flashing, and they are splashed with boiling cow dung and crushed under heavy weights, you know, maybe heavy machines sort of thing sent towards them, barrels or stones or whatever, and their heads are cut off by swords so that they incur death or deadly pain. Now this drawback too in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now, has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause. The reason being simply sensuality. Those five strands of sense pleasures with the creating these things. Again, it is with sensuality for the reason, sensuality for the source, that a man break into windows, seize plunder, commit burglary, ambush highways, commit adultery, and when they are captured, kings have them tortured in many ways. They flog them in whips, beat them with canes, beat them with clubs. They cut off their hands, cut off their feet, cut off their hand and feet. They cut off their ears, cut off their nose, cut off their ears and noses. These they subject to them to the porridge pot, the polished shell shape, Rahu's mouth, flaming garland, the blazing hand, the grass duty, that is for the ascetics, they say, the bark dress, a burning antelope, the meat hooks, a coin gubi, the lye pickling, the pivot on steak, the rolled up bed. They have them splashed with boiling oil, devoured by dogs, impaled alive on stakes. They have their heads cut off with swords so that they incur death or deadly pain. Now this drawback too in the case of sensuality, this mass of stress visible here and now, has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its soul, sensuality for its cause. The reason being simply sensuality. You see that those people who are stealing things, you know, they what do they steal? You know, so let's say maybe $50, $60, or you know, maybe $100, whatever thing.
But it does sound like that people who break into the petrol stations at night and then getting about $10 or $15, killing one person at the cash register.
And then they go to jail, and they live in jail for many years. Just that sensuality, you know, living for a very short thing, and then living there in a cage.
At the very beginning, in this paragraph, it was saying that it was really striking in the words that the form is innocent. Our mind makes it dirty. That means it is what we are talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. It feels striking at that point.
And yes, and when it is striking, you think about it and think about the drawbacks. Always think about the drawbacks. If you do not think about the drawbacks, your mind won't be free at all. Mind won't be get the freedom. Until we see the problem, until we see the adhina or the drawbacks of things, our mind is not happy to give up anything. Now, when you go through these things and if you remember these things, the Buddha said this one, and then you, from your own example, you see, yes, it is. I have seen this. Anyone watching TV has seen all these things in the sense, you know, the wars in the world and, you know, jail and all the problems and getting these problems. So when you actually think, one has to think, why is actually this happening? This is the sensuality. This is sensuality is the cause. Sensuality is this thing. Although I don't do anything you know, bad in that sense. Now you can say, I am affected by hunger, thirst, you know, the tadpoles, mosquitoes, heat, you know, all those things, cold heat. And then the taxman takes my money and all those things. You can see that the same phenomena is applying. We just, you know, sort of accept it as it is. You know, it's as a part of the past, and that's what we are doing. We are not thinking, why this is actually happening? You know, how can I get rid of this one? So it is the sensuality. Sensuality is doing the much damage. Again, it is with sensuality for the reason, sensuality for the source, that people engage in bodily misconduct. This is the verbal misconduct, mental misconduct. Having engaged in bodily, verbal and mental misconduct, they, on the breakup of the body after death, reappear in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, lower realms, in hell. Now this drawback too in the case of sensuality. This mass of stress in the future life has sensuality for its reason, sensuality for its source, sensuality for its cause. The reason being simply sensuality. You see that we go to the hell, the animal realm, pain of departure, all those things because of the sensuality. That's the reason. Once Mahanama, when I was staying near Rajagaha on the Vulture Peak mountain, a number of Niganthas were at Black Rock on the slopes of Isigil, practicing continuous standing, rejecting seeds, experiencing fierce, sharp, breaking pains due to exertion. So in the evening, rising from the seclusion, I went to the Niganthas. You know that they are actually standing from one foot. You know, the other one is actually folded back and standing from one foot, and then thinking, and this is also interesting, that what is happening over there. So Buddha went over there and asked them, why are you practicing continuous standing, rejecting seeds, experiencing fierce, sharp, taking pains due to exertion? When this was said, Nigantha said to me, friend, Nigantanatha Buddha is all-knowing, all-seeing, and claims total knowledge and vision. Thus, wherever I am walking or standing, sleeping or awake, knowledge and vision are continuously and continually establishing me. He has told us, Niganthas, there are evil actions that you have done in the past. Exhaust them with these painful austerities. When in the present you are restrained in body, restrained in speech, restrained in mind, that is the undoing of evil action for the future. Thus, with the destruction of old actions through asceticism and with the undoing of new actions, there will be no flow into the future. With no flow into the future, there is ending of action. With the ending of action, the ending of stress. With the ending of stress, the ending of feeling. With the ending of feeling, all suffering and stress will be exhausted. We approve of that teaching, prefer it, and are gratified by it. So they are thinking that by standing from one foot, the past one will be gone. And no, not doing anything now, and therefore the future is won't be there. You know that is completely the removal, the abandonment of this thing. When this was asked, I asked them, but friend, do you know that you existed in the past and that you did not exist in the past? No, friend. So they do not know whether they exist in the past or not, or whether they did not go. And do you know that you did evil actions in the past and that you did not do them? No, friend. And do you know that you did such and such evil actions in the past? No, friend. And do you know that so and so much stress has been exhausted, or that so and so much stress remains to be exhausted, or that with the exhaustion of so and so much stress, all stress will be exhausted? No, friend. But do you know what is the abandoning of unskilled mental qualities and the attainment of skillful mental qualities in the here and now? That is this akusalanam dhammanam pahana and the kusalanam dhammanam upasampadati. So whatever the skillful ones are actually making arise, unskillful ones abandonment of those. No, friend, they do not know how to do it, that one either. So they are just standing by one foot and thinking that this will go away. So friends, it seems that you do not know that you existed in the past, and then you did not exist. You do not know that you did evil actions in the past and that you did not do them. You don't know that you did such and such evil actions in the past. You do not know that so and so much stress has been exhausted, Oh, that so and so much stress remains to be exhausted. Oh, that with the exhaustion of so and so much stress, all stress will be exhausted. So you do not know what is the abandoning of unskilled mental qualities and the attainment of skillful mental qualities in the here and now. That being the case, those in the world who are murderers, bloody-handed doers of what is cruel, when they are later reborn among human beings, go forth with Niganthas. See, that statement is also really nice. So they have done all the bad things. They come and join the Niganthas. So just by standing on the one foot, you can get rid of this one. So then they said, but friend Gautama, it is not the case that pleasure is to be attained through pleasure. Pleasure is to be attained through pain. For if pleasure were to be attained through pleasure, then King Saini Bimbisara of Magadha would attain pleasure. For he lives in greater pleasure than you, friend Gautama. Sukena sukam. That's what it is. Pleasure. Surely the Venerable Nikanta said that rashly and without reflecting. For instead, I should be asked, who lives in greater pleasure? King Saini Bimbisara of Magadha or Venerable Gautama? Yes, friend Gautama, we said that rashly and without reflecting, but let that be. We now ask your Venerable Gautama, who lives in greater pleasure, King Saini Bimbisara of Magadha or Venerable Gautama? In that case, Nikanthas, I will question you in return. Answer you like. What do you think? Can King Saini Bimbisara of Magadha, without moving his body, without uttering a word, dwell sensitive to unalloyed pleasure for 7 days and nights? So that means he is not going to make his body shake, move or anything, no talking, you know. Can he actually live in pleasure for 7 days? Because Buddha can. Because he attained Nirodha Samapatti, he can live for 7 days without any problem. And the supreme pleasure. No friend, for 6 days and nights, 5 days and nights, for a day and a night, no friend. Now I, without moving my body, without uttering a word, can dwell sensitive to unalloyed pleasure for a day and night, 2 days and night, for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days and night. So what do you think? That being the case, who dwell in greater pleasure? King Saini Bimbisara of Magadha or me? That being the case, Venerable Gautama dwell in greater pleasure than King Saini Bimbisara of Magadha. That is what the Blessed One said. Gratified Mahanam and Sakin delighted in the Blessed One's words. So, you can see that what Buddha is actually telling over there, the pleasure is to be abandoned by pleasure. Pleasure cannot be, you know, that you can't get rid of by the displeasure. And remember that we were talking about that there are 18 kind of householders, pleasure, displeasure and equanimity. And there are the 18 kind of pleasure, displeasure and equanimity for a renunciation. For the same person, in the sitting on the meditation posture. He can meditate and then he can get rid of these things. So those 18 are replaced with these good 18. So that pleasure, give up the household pleasure, and abide in the jhana concentration, have the rapture and be happy. And going through that particular one and the end, one is actually getting rid of all the pleasures, and he understands that pleasure is also constructed. And having understood that pleasure is constructed, he give up that one as well. So finally, he is not actually holding anything that is constructed. Atamayata is the Pali word used over there in the statement. That is, that Atamayata is the not made of thatness. The Nibbana is not made of anything. It is the cessation of all the cravings. So give up that one as well. So, you can see that this discussion started with the three things, that the lobha, dosa and moha. So that is this the attachment, aversion and delusion. Now, the Mahanama was once returned, and he still can't sort of see why this is actually coming, what has not been abandoned. You know, it is, why it is so, it is because it is so complicated. It is so complicated. You have heard this one many times before. There are four paths, prone paths that we go through. because of the four kind of nutriments. The first nutriment is the edible food that we eat. Second one is the nutriment contact. That is the mentally you have the contact. And then the third one is the mental volition. The fourth one is the consciousness, vijnana. So now in the first part, because of the edible food, then we actually go into this wrong idea. We get that because of the physical nutriment, we get the perversion that there is beauty in the ugly. So this that you know, if you think about the food, you can see when it is digested and you know sort of thing. But when you see the food the first time, it is really good. And we are ourselves are just food. You know, that when we actually see another person, it is just food we actually see, in a sense. So, I mean, you can't see that person's mind. You see that food, nutriment, you know, the blood, flesh and all those things. And so we get this thing is so bad, but we actually get the perversion. The other way around, we think that this is sort of beauty in the ugly. So then because of that one, the sensual desire is arising. You know, that thinking about that thing or person, the sensual desire is arising. So you can see the drawbacks over there. And this one becomes a bit complicated and it grows further and further, and then our mind even hold it onto that form that we have seen. And we go the bad way. Now what is happening with that? Because of this action, these things that we do, we go on another path. Because whenever this is good, and this our environment is good and things we see are good, then we actually hold the future. Because this is good now, then the rest is also good. So then we actually go, that actually happening because of the nutriment, the contact. This is mainly the nutriment contact. The major one over here is the mental contact. You see, you actually pursue a food or something, now this is good and so on. And then next time when you actually see that food, you are mentally processing that particular one. You know that this food is such and such, this is so tasty and sort of thing. It is coming up not only for food, everything. It is that pursued before and gone through that bad path, it is coming back now over here. Okay, now you are going through this path, you do not know why you are going through this path. Even you don't want to go through this path, because we have gone through before, now this is actually arising again. So we go through the anger path in that case, because we hold the future. But something is actually happening for the future. It is actually a tsunami and earthquakes and some bad things happening, and then we are angry about these things. I used to have this, I can't have this one, you know, that all those things are coming up. So we have gone through the second path as well. Went through the first path, and now it has gone through the second path. When you go through the first path and the second path, because of the second path, you are going back in the first path as well. Because now you are recalling that whatever the food and the beautiful object that you have seen, mentally, repeatedly processing that one. You know, the holding it, this is mine and I like it and sort of thing. So you can see how mentally sick we are. So we got the first path and the second path done. When you do the first path and second path, then we go to the third path, the wrong path. It is actually mental volition. You see, you perceive something, I'm taking the food as the example over here. You know that it is tasty, you have gone through that path and you grab it, hold it and you know, you used it. And then there's the volition. Mental volition is there with it, that food. Next time when you see also, you get the whole thing again and again. Now, because of the mental volition, how do you get the mental volition? Because of your perception. You know that particular food, let's say it is smelly or something, you know, you are not going to grab it. But you have the perception. This is smell good, taste good, everything good. You know, so then this perception. Because of the perception, there is this volition. With the volition, you go through a third path, where you are now actually saying that this thing is actually not yours, you hold it as mine. You know that this thing is a holding. So now we can see, we went through the first path, second path. Second, because of the first and second, so we actually went on each path again and again, you know, different way, depending on the person. Went through the third path. When you go through the third path, when you actually hold that this is mine and so on, then you are again going through that first and second. You without knowing, because that you grasp these things as mine, because it is mine, I go through it. It's my car, I go through it. You know, it's my job. Whenever you take something as mine, it is the way that we go through this one. Now, all these three paths add up to what is called moha, that is the delusion. So, our consciousness is now become the food, nutriment. Now, consciousness is now actually holding. Well, I like home. I like food. I like home. I like the feeling. In the second path, it's the feeling is the major thing that consciousness is holding. In the third path, it's the perception that we are holding. The consciousness is. Now, consciousness is awareness. Consciousness, it is aware that this food is mine, that this food, I perceive this way, this is pleasurable, and all those things. So that karma has been done. Now the fourth path is the karma path. The volition is actually constructed by the volitional formations. Having been gone through those other three, you know, we have the volition, mental volition, holding us and reconstructing that form as form. That is called saṅkhataṁ abhisaṅkhāraṁ. It constructs the conditioned form as form, conditioned feeling as feeling, conditioned perception as perception, conditioned consciousness as consciousness. It is constructing now. When it is constructing, you know, you don't have any control. It keeps on constructing. You may be a meditator. You are meditating. I want to get rid of this one. I have seen the drawbacks. I have contemplated that this is a bad thing. Buddha has said these things. But since I have done this one for million times, you know, infinitely I have been holding these things as mine without knowing. You know, the Buddha is actually arising to the world. You know, our Buddha lived only 45 years. And that is actually after many, you know, many thousands and many thousands and thousands of years. There are eons where there are no Buddhas at all. So we are living in the complete darkness, doing these things again and again without knowing it. So we have practiced, very well practiced. This is called actually the contemplation as well, the bad contemplation. We have done the bad contemplation about these sensual things many times. So having done that one, so we have the volition, sanskara. Volition is now form, karma is form. So the karma is now actually construct these things and we go with it. Unless we use our mindfulness, that is, that this is impermanent, subject to suffering, and thinking about the drawbacks, and then this is not self. Unless you contemplate, you are going with that one. So, because of the complicated nature, only when you meditate, you can actually see how bad this one is, how you are jumping from one path to another. You see, if you are actually angry, you can actually go through one path and you can actually sort of sort it out. I am angry because of I must have gone through the second path. So you can trace back and say, okay, that's why I am angry. If you have sensuality, having seen something, then you can actually sort of analyze in the first path as well. But when it comes with the delusion and then the views, many have no idea how I am entered into this situation, how I am, what I am doing over here. They have no idea because they have gone through those ones before. Now it is coming up. You know, there was a monk who was attending to the Buddha, and that monk when he was going with Buddha, he saw a beautiful mango forest. Having seen that one, he thought, I should go there and meditate. And so he asked permission from the Buddha. The Buddha said, wait a little, other monks will come. And the third time also he said, I want to go. And Buddha said, wait a little, other monks will come. And then he said, Buddha has attained this Nibbana, you know, the attainment. I have attained anything. I want to finish this thing. And Buddha said, okay, go ahead. So he went to the mango forest, he started meditating. And at that time, well, all the sense pleasures that he was actually not having anything when he was walking and attending to Buddha, now all those things are coming. And he was thinking, why is that these things are coming to my mind now? You know, it was not there before. And how come then in the seclusion that I sit down over here to attain this Nibbana, I was trying to, you know, put the effort, but it is coming so much. And then he went back to the Buddha and said that this one, that Buddha said, that's why I didn't ask you to go. You know, when they are actually with the companion of the Aryans, because when you look at them, how they behave and so on, then their ones are actually also gone and those thoughts are not coming up. But when you are actually in isolation, that part is gone, then these things are coming up. These are coming up because of that delusion and all those things. Because we tend to construct, we construct. That is our habit. That is called actually volitional formation is sometimes translated as habitual tendency. And so we have formed these habits. It's construct. So you have no way of knowing why I am getting these thoughts at all. So
it's happening for us as well, because when you go to meditate, you will get all these thoughts which we never thought
about
during our life. That is happening. It is quite.
Yeah, and the noticing there at all is really good as well. You know that this is actually happening in the meditation time because your mind is calm, quiet. At that time, you know, those things are coming up. And detecting them and treating them, you know, that's the way to get rid of. Mind is an amazing thing. It's a monkey, you know, it's jumping from something to another. Because we trained it. We trained ourselves doing that. You know, not knowing this Dhamma. We kept on training it, and look at the drawbacks of that such training. How much trouble that we have over here. Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to meditate on this one, just thinking about the drawbacks.
What is this similar?
Chuladukkakkhanda Sutta. Yeah, and there is a Mahadukkakkhanda Sutta as well. And it's little bit lengthy than this one, and it has got this content as well. And when I read this one for the first time, I have never heard this one before. I mean, I'm talking about 10 years ago. Oh, it's really striking me about this one, you know, that how much we are actually suffering without knowing this case. All those things.
Like that, when you have a sale somewhere, and you wouldn't know about that if you don't hear it. And so you wouldn't think of buying something, or, you know. But if you see that case on the TV or somewhere, that way your ego and everything comes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the sales come and go.
You don't know.
But if you see that, if you see that case and somebody tells you, that's where you get all these, desire to go there and get the things and all this.
Yeah, we think about it. That's what it is. Having that one, because we have done it before. See, we have been on those queues and buying these things, and we have enjoyed at that moment, and we have grasped and hold it. Now, though, that means that we have gone through the first path and then the third path over there. This is mine. Pleasure is mine. We hold it. So, since we have hold it, the volition in that sense is innocent, isn't it? You train something to do something, like a child you train to do something, they just keep on doing it. So having done the bad way of training, we got this problem. And if you think about the drawbacks, or just try to recall what Buddha said over here, and understand that Lobha Dosha Moha is actually coming, if you actually think this is the cause, because of the sensuality this is happening. And if you keep on repeating this thing, then you can see. You have to get up in the morning, you wake up, you know, wash your face and have a bath, eating, all those things, completely to do with the sensuality.
There's no escape really, because you can't, but it always says on the first page of the way out is to renounce.
Yeah.
But if you can't renounce, you have children and so on, and you have to be gone.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, but there is an alternative over there. The alternative is that, remember we were talking about the 18 kinds of householders, pleasure, displeasure, equanimity, and there's a renunciation for you. You are not renouncing your whole thing and going becoming a monk. But in the meditation time, you are another person. You become another person. At that time, you renounce. At that time, you don't have children. At that time, don't think about anything more of those things. You understand that I can't renounce because of these reasons. But Buddha said, do not just think that, you know, the best one is over here, is that the take the householder's displeasure. Now you are talking about householder's displeasure. And think about the renunciation displeasure. Why that the renunciation displeasure is? Arahants are, you know, abiding in a really good world now, you know, the way now. I can't do it. Okay, now Buddha said, because of that give up this. So what you just said has to be given up for the renunciation displeasure. And then Buddha said, well, don't stand over there. There is this renunciation pressure. Because of the renunciation pressure, give up the renunciation displeasure. Now you can go to the dhyana, concentration. No one is stopping you. No your children, nobody is stopping you. So Buddha said, go over there. So you see that when you go over there, you see more of the Dhamma. And you actually attain, later on, you can actually attain this, you know, you are completely getting rid of this third path over here. It is about the self-identity view. Having understood that this is all constructed, you are actually getting rid of that one. So when you cut down that path, you are not making any unskilled states because of that path alone over here. And because of this, remember I said that you went through the first and the second and go through this one. And because of this, you are going through these ones as well. Now you are cutting down that path. Because of these two, you might be doing little bit over here. But since this one is not there completely, you are not going through the first one and the second one. So that half of the problem is actually gone. So, and when you actually understand over here, you are actually cutting down this one as well. Either by going through this one, you cut down that identity view, or by this one. So they are actually equivalent in that sense. So, because of the volitional formations, you are not actually going to have this one. But having seen something, you might get, you know, sensual pleasures and sort of thing. But it's not from your own volition anymore. So that's the difference. So there, that life is much, much better compared to what we have, because that such a person is not going to hell, animal realm, and all those things. So that's the first thing that he has got, and easily attained to concentrations and sort of thing. That's what Buddha is saying. Buddha is not telling you to give up everything and become a monk and do that. What Buddha said, even you do that one, you can't attain in that way. The craving has to be given up gradually with this method, with the method. Methodologically you have to do it. So no one is stopping you from attaining the dhyana concentration and becoming happy. So when you are happy over there, then you actually lose about the other sensuality little by little. Because that you have a substitution over there. Now this one is better than this one. And this one is harmful. You can see the drawbacks over here. No drawbacks over here. So this one is better. So that's why Buddha said, you may not be able to attain Nibbana, because that you can't give up the whole thing, you can't become an Arahant, but there are other stages in between. So this is the part that many actually do not understand very well. There is quite a lot of misconception, not knowing Buddhism. Even the Buddhist monks are saying this, that it is that not true. In the Salayatana Vibhana Sutta, Buddha is actually explaining these things. And you can see the mana itself is actually once returner who having these things. Once returner is Sova. Once returner is Sakudaga, going beyond that Sova. So I think we stop for today.